It's episode 568 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. On today's episode, happy opening day. I am previewing the entire Texas Rangers 2022 season, all the new things you need to know, everything to get excited for, all that and more coming up on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to preview the Texas Rangers season. Before I do, thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick, follow the show at Locked On Rangers, and subscribe on YouTube, where we are inching closer to 800 subscribers, eventually to that 1,000 mark. Yesterday's show, if you didn't listen to it, please do, because it hurt my feelings that not everybody in the entire world listened to it, because there's a lot of great stuff from Jack Leiter. I actually got to interview him, and a lot of Frisco prospects as well, Frisco managers, lots of really, really great stuff about competitive sleeping, about Jack Leiter being really good at baseball. And, you know, I just think that you would really, really enjoy it if you check it out sometime. But anyway, let's get into the promised land. We are here. We made it. Opening day 2022, year 50 for the Texas Rangers in Texas. The Rangers opened their season at 6:07 Central Time in Toronto. John Gray versus Jose Berríos. We finally made it. I cannot freaking wait. Now it's the 50th season of Rangers, so I have some fun 50 facts for you. Some number 50 wearers of the number 50 in Texas Rangers baseball history. There are some great ones, including David Clyde. Yeah, that's right. We're off to a great start. CJ Nitkowski. Even better start. Frankie Francisco. Michael Kirkman. Keone Kella. Tim Fedorovich. And of course, how could we forget the great Jason Martin? In game 50 of Texas Rangers history, the Rangers lost 3-1 to Jim Palmer and the Orioles on June 11th, 1972, thanks to old Horacio Pena giving up two runs in the ninth inning of a tie game. Way to go, Horacio. We all remember that one, of course. You know, very memorable game. Orioles lineup featured such greats as Don Baylor, Brooks Robinson, and future Rangers manager and number retiree, Johnny Oates, at catcher. The Rangers lineup featured such greats as, you know, pitcher Dick Bosman, left fielder Ted Ford, Rangers great shortstop Toby Hara, and catcher Dick Billings. That's right, there was an all Dick battery. I'm going to save some more of those 50s tidbits throughout the year. But let's get into the Rangers path on the episode. We're going to be going through what's happened since they were contending. We're also going to be talking about what would define a successful season, and I'm going to be making some predictions less, I don't know if they're going to be more or less bold than my several bold predictions for Wednesday, but there will be some level of boldness attributed to them. But it's been 6 years since the Rangers last made the playoffs. A lot has happened since then. And this is the last time they even had a winning record, was 6 years ago. Let's look at 2017, the team that started this great playoff drought. There were such greats as Robinson Chirinos. Elvis Andrews actually had a really great year. Joey Gallo was a third baseman. He played a lot of third base then. Carlos Gomez was there. Delino DeShields Jr. was there. Mike Napoli was still on that team. They also had such amazing players, such as Martin Perez was still there. Andrew Cashner, several innings out of him. Cole Hamels, Yu Darvish, Nick Martinez, AJ Griffin. Alex Claudio had a 3-win season, which is absolutely insane. Also, side note, he's on the Mets now, and that's just deeply confusing and troubling, but wish him nothing but the best. What else has happened since then? Since 2017? Well, I'll give you a quick rundown. Yeah, sorry, it's not going to be quick, because there's a lot of things that have happened since the Rangers last made the playoffs in 2016. Here are some of the things that happened. Adrian Belter retired. Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels were both traded. Jeff Banister was fired. The Rangers made Mike Minor. They signed him. They made him a starter. They made him an all-star, and then they traded him. The Rangers signed and fixed Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson as well, made both of them all-stars, if not an actual all-star by Lance Lynn, but, you know, an all-star in a year that there was no all-star game. You know, they traded them too. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa came up, became a catcher, then became a Gold Glove infielder, then became a Gold Glove caliber infielder at shortstop, and then was traded. Elvis Andrews, Ruben Odor were also traded, as well as Nomar Mazara. The Rangers, for some reason, tried to make Ronald Guzman an outfielder. Then he got hurt, and then they cut him loose. Bartolo Colon was second on the team in 2018, had nearly 150 innings at the age of 45. Adrian Beltre really didn't deserve to go out that way. Like, he really deserved much better than that. Danny Santana and Hunter Pence came to town. They were both kind of good for 2019. An actual scrappy, fun, good team. Kind of. And then fell off a cliff. The Rangers had their final season in the ballpark in Arlington. That is what it is. I'm not calling it that stupid name that they call it post-baseball life. They built a new stadium and a new fun zone around the stadium before that. You know, it was a lot of fun. It was across the street. They licensed out the old place to play football. And then that league folded. And then I don't know what it's doing now. I think it's hosting some, you know, high school games. Then they retired the numbers of Pudge Rodriguez, 2017, Adrian Beltre, June 2019, and Michael Young in August of 2019. It kind of feels like a weird order. It feels like Beltre and Young should have been reversed in that order, but, you know, I'm not complaining. Back when the Rangers were in the playoffs last, there were only three numbers retired by the team. And one of those was Jackie Robinson. Not even a player for the Rangers. They had Nolan Ryan, Johnny Oates, and Jackie Robinson. Now they have twice as many names retired. Here's what else happened. The Texas Rangers traded for a multi-time Cy Young winner. So exciting. So excited to get a guy who's from Dallas, and he pitched a whole inning. And the Rangers relief prospect it's a relief prospect for a multi-time Cy Young winner. What could happen? Well, what happened, and the guy who they traded is throwing 103-mile-an-hour cutters for Cleveland, a team now named the Guardians. It's changed their name since then. A pandemic swept through the world. Most importantly, it killed 6 million people, but it also, you know, had an effect on baseball. It made me stay up till 4 a.m. watching Korean baseball, shortened the Rangers season, the MLB season, to 60 games. The Rangers were so bad in that season, they earned the number 2 overall pick for horrendously sucking after getting mad about a guy hitting a grand slam. Then his friends came and hit more grand slams, and everything went wrong for them after that. And then, you know, we had a normal season last year. Well, it was kind of normal, except the Rangers lost 100 games for the first time since 1973. And they somehow just ended up with a number 3 overall pick because teams were just so horrendous last year that even losing 100 games wasn't enough to get the number 1 overall pick. Then, you know, Texas spent a cool $500 million in a week and then suffered a 99-day lockout immediately after. And exactly a month later, here we are at opening day. It's enough to make your freaking head spin. You know, the teams that since the playoff run or playoff drought has been in effect, those teams have featured such great players as Jeff Mathis, Juan Centeno, Adrian Sampson, Shelby Miller, Asdrubal Cabrera, Todd Frazier, who is now retired, Rob Refsnyder, Derek Dietrich, David Dahl, K-Chris Davis, as he is now known, DJ Peters, Jordan Lyles, Mike Foltynewicz, Brock Holt, Corey Kluber, and of course, who could forget the great Carlos Tochi. But rejoice, dear friends. We are in those dark days no longer. We are here in a season where the Rangers probably won't suck. And you know what? That's enough for me. I'm going to talk a little bit about three things that would define a Rangers successful season and make some predictions varying in degrees of boldness. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is an absolutely delicious tasting protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And I'm kind of hungry and craving one right now. And so I might end up going and ordering one on Built.com. You know, if I want to go there, I can search for a bunch of different flavors. There are so many. The choices are somewhat overwhelming because they are all so good. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they taste good, and they're good for you. Most Built bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that with a candy bar, and it's not even close. It's not even close. Those candy bars have usually 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So if you are hungry, or you're a person who likes to eat food, and you like things that taste good, and you like things that are good for you, you can go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you are looking for a second listen for today, you can listen to Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Liz C. Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, what defines a successful season? That's a tough question to ask about a team that was just coming off the worst season since the 1970s. Since I don't know what was going on in the 70s. I think there was like Woodstock and free love or drugs or I don't know. It was many, many years before my time, but things were different. I can tell you that. So what do we define coming out after that successful, after that as successful? Now, there's three things. I think there's three things that you need to look for that are a barometer for a successful season. Number one, anything more than 72 wins is solid. Teams do not go from worst to first. Like it does not happen. It does not happen very often. It does happen sometimes. Sometimes it does happen. But most of the time it does not happen. It has happened for the Rangers in 2014 when they were worst in the division and they went to first in the division. But 2014 was an absolute travesty where everybody and their mother and their dog's mother got hurt. And then everyone got healthy and the Rangers were back to being good. And they also got a little bit lucky in 2015, if you remember. They also had to trade for Cole Hamels. So like it wasn't like things were just handed to them in 2015. Like they really kind of limped over the finish line there. And I still don't know how that team ended up winning the division. It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious, and I love it in hindsight because it was that same World Series winning core from the Astros that they beat out to do it, and it makes me laugh every single time. But still, anything over 72 wins is a 10-win improvement. That's solid. Next year is the year where they're really, really going for it. There's some questions about the pitching staff this year. I'm not as low on them as the outsider may be. I think a lot of it depends on how good John Gray could be. Can he be, you know, more like a Kyle Gibson or a Lance Lynn, where he comes in with some warts on him and the Rangers see something in there and they fix him up real nice and he looks, you know, better than ever before? I think that's entirely within the realm of possibility. Or is it going to be more like Jordan Lyles, where they saw, or Mike Foltynewicz, where they saw the same thing and it just didn't work out? But, you know, they stuck with him because they were sucking last year and those guys were eating innings while also giving up a lot of runs, which was a very valuable thing for a team that's tanking. Very specific kind of skill set, which I think is kind of why Baltimore might have gone and signed Jordan Lyles. But anyway, anything over 72 wins is solid. I want them to be, you know, competing for a playoff spot. I don't have to be like competing very hard for it, but in the final month of the season, I don't want them to be completely out of the race. That's really what I'm looking for. But if they end the season with, you know, 72 would just be a 10-win improvement for spending, I think, $50 million-ish, maybe a little bit more. Maybe it's like $60 million, I think, improved just on this year's payroll alone. It seems disingenuous to say $500 million, like they're spending it all in one season. But anyway, I'd say 75-plus wins is a really solid barometer. Anything less than that is not like a travesty. Anything less than 70 wins, that's really deeply upsetting, and I think I'm going to be very mad at the end of the season. Or a lot of things have like gone wrong and everybody got hurt, and it's like 2014 where everybody and their mother and their dog's mother got hurt. But number two, keeping Corey Seager and Mitch Garver healthy throughout the season, that is, but that's almost like priority number one. That's really got to be extremely important for the Texas Rangers. Both those guys have had some history of injuries. Mitch Garver has had a lot longer history of injuries than Corey Seager, but Seager kept getting random different injuries as well. Both those guys are very key and very good when they are healthy, but it's a big kind of asterisk, especially on Garver, on when they're healthy. But the barometer for healthy with these guys is, you know, Seager, I think you got to have at least 130 games out of him. His injuries have been more fluky, but Garver has that recurring back injury, and that kind of scares me. So the Rangers need to, you know, they have a really good, you know, medical system, medical facility. They've done a pretty decent job of keeping players healthy to the best of their abilities. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but keeping those two healthy is just paramount. And, you know, I'd say if Garver can play in 100 plus games, honestly, like 90 plus feels like really good. He's just really been so hurt. And don't let Shohei Ohtani slide into him at home. Don't let anybody foul a ball off home plate and hit him in the nards. Please protect his nards, because that kept him out for, he really did keep him out for a long time, over a month last year. So I think he's wearing a Kevlar cup now. So just protect the family jewels and protect his back and his knees and all of him, actually. Just protect all of Mitch Garver. Keep him healthy. And number three, this, I don't know, all of you feel like the most important thing. Like, they're all tied for the most important. But I want one youngish hitter and one pitcher to have an unexpectedly good season. It's a kind of a cop-out, because it, the answer for what is unexpectedly good is different for everybody. But for the hitters, I'm looking at specifically Willie Calhoun, Nick Solak, Leody Taveras, Andy Ibañez, or I'm counting Adolis Garcia. I mean, he's not young. I think he's 29 this year, but he is young in his major league career. He hasn't been in the major leagues very long. With Willie Calhoun, you can kind of lump him in with the Seager and the Garver. Just don't let anybody freaking hit Willie Calhoun. Like, stop hitting him. Don't break his bones or his face or his face bones, because that man needs to stay healthy. And when he's healthy, I think that dude can mash. And I'm hoping for him to take a step forward. But the last few years, there haven't really been that many guys. Adolis Garcia is pretty much the only exception of some young hitter being, I don't know, 5 to 10 to 15% better than we expected. Adolis last year was like probably 50% better than anybody could have possibly expected. Like, there was just no expectations on him, and he burst on the scene, and that was a huge, great, positive development. The last like 3 years, except for like basically Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who, not as a hitter, but just as a player in general, made that leap. And Joey Gallo, which, the fact of all those top prospects, the fact that he reached the 95th percentile of what he is, it still makes me very happy and kind of dumbfounded. But they need somebody of these young guys to take a step. I'm also okay if it's Ezekiel Duran or Josh Smith or Dustin Harris coming up to the big league level and mashing at it. I'm okay if it's them. And if that means that, you know, one of the Willie Calhoun or Andy Ibañez is playing less, I think that's okay. I don't know how much Andy Ibañez factors in the future, but he factors in some after what he did last year. And for the pitchers, that basically means one of these guys in Dane Dunning, Taylor Hearn, or Spencer Howard establishing themselves as a number three starter and a legit part of this future rotation when the Rangers are actually good and competing next year and the year after and the year after that. It could also mean one of Brock Burke or Cole Winn or AJ Alexi doing that this year. I don't know if unexpectedly good is Cole Winn coming up and being a number three. I think that's about what's expected. Being a number three, like right off the bat, being a guy who you can count on to go 5-6 innings pretty much every time and not have too many horrendous blow up starts. That's what I mean by a number three. I think Spencer Howard can do that. If he becomes a number two, that is a huge, huge leap. If any of these guys look like, you know, a number two starter, Taylor Hearn has the stuff to do it. It's just about figuring out how to pitch consistently as a big leaguer. I really like what I've seen from him this spring. I love what I've seen from Spencer Howard. He's looking a lot more like the consensus top 100 prospect that he was in early 2020 than the guy who just could not figure it out with the Phillies or the Rangers last year. And that is a huge, huge plus for them. Brock Burke coming on and being a major leaguer in any capacity, let alone a potential starting pitcher, would be awesome. But Alexi and Cole Winn, I don't know that I expect them to be number three starters. Eventually Cole Winn, yes, but Alexi, I think maybe number four is what his future is most likely to be. But I'm not sure how much those guys are going to factor in this year. I think eventually they'll both get to the big leagues this year and pitch a little bit, but it's a real question mark at this point, real head scratcher as to what capacity they'll contribute and at what point they will be in the big league level. Now, coming up, I'm going to get into my Rangers predictions, how well I think the Rangers finish the season, who their MVP is going to be, who is going to lead them in key stats, and other fun stuff as well. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline.net. That's right, it's baseball season. It is time to make your sports wagers on baseball, or actually maybe don't make them on baseball. You can make them on other sports, but if you want to bet on, you know, some Rangers lines to make the playoffs, the Rangers are plus 600, 6-1 odds, or to make the playoffs, or to miss the playoffs, they are minus 1,000 or 1 to 10 odds. Basically, these odds imply that the Rangers have a 90.9% chance the team won't make the playoffs. I think it's a little pessimistic on the Rangers. I still think there's like at least a 75 to 80 to 85% chance the Rangers will make the playoffs, but like a 91% chance feels a tad aggressive. Not that I'm placing my money on them to go and win the World Series or anything crazy like that. But if you want to go and bet, you can go to betonline.net. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, let's make some predictions. Let's be wrong. Let's be aggressively, boldly wrong. Just kidding. I am always right in all my predictions, except if you go back and look at them in hindsight and look at the ones where I was wrong. Those ones I'm not right about, but these ones, I swear, are going to be 100% right. Now, let's start with the Rangers record. This is a biggie, but I think I am filled with the holy optimism, the righteous optimism inspired by opening day. So, you know, maybe all these picks are just going to be complete sunshine up my bum filled by the spirit of opening day. But I think the Rangers finish 83-79. That's right. A winning record for the first time since 2016. You heard it here first, unless you heard it somewhere else, but you heard it here first from the person who is right. The other people just got lucky. I did it because I was smart. But I think they finished 5 games out of the final wildcard spot at 83-79. They have a season kind of like the Mariners. But I think, honestly, overall, the wins are going to be pretty down around the American League. Because there's a lot of teams that are, you know, mediocre. There's a couple teams that are really, really good. But, I mean, the AL West, I don't know how great either of the teams that are really going to be competing are going to be. And in the AL East, I think all the teams are so good. They're going to play each other so many times and they're going to beat up on each other that I think, you know, 88 wins ish. Is that what my math adds up to? Yeah. 5 games out of the final wild card spot, which there are 3 of them this year. Don't forget there's an extra wild card spot. So it is going to be easier for the Rangers, I guess harder for the Rangers to miss the playoffs, which they will still probably do. But they'll be more fun in competing for that final wildcard spot later on. But yeah, I think Toronto is going to be really, really dang good in the AL East. I think there's some real legitimate question marks about everybody else in that division, except for the Rays. I think actually that's wrong. The Rays and Blue Jays are going to be really stinking good. The White Sox are going to crush everybody in their division. But everybody outside of them, meaning the Astros, Seattle, and Boston / New York, yeah, I almost forgot about the Yankees. Yeah, those two. I think there's going to be some real legitimate questions about both those teams and their pitching depth. They're going to hit the snot out of the baseball, but I don't know how good they're going to be. But anyway, yeah, like I said, Rangers 83-79. Sue me if I'm wrong. Don't actually sue me. I'm very poor and I don't have a good lawyer. Who is the Rangers MVP this year? I think it's going to go to... Gosh, this doesn't add up with my math. But you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to say Corey Seager. Yeah. I have the war leader being very different. You know what? Whatever. Take me at my word. One of these is going to be right. So I did this before I did my actual number projections, but I'm going to switch what I have projected. I haven't said it out loud so I can change it. And there's no law against that. But I think that he regains the Globe Life Field Dinger title from Joey Gallo, who will maybe wrestle it back away from him next year when he signs with the Rangers and also hits a bunch of home runs when he's at Globe Life Field this year. I don't know. We'll see about that. But yeah, I think Corey Seager is going to be the Rangers MVP this year. Home run leader. I'm getting really aggressive with this one. I'm saying Mitch Garver. Yeah, you didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Well, you might have. And if you did, then you're smart. But I think he has 42 home runs to lead the Texas Rangers. I think Marcus Semien is a close second with 41, specifically as a Dirk Nowitzki homage, which is very kind and should almost be granted the winner just because he hit exactly 41 to honor Dirk, because anybody who honors Dirk is doing a good thing. As you can see, I love Dirk with my, there we go, pointing his heart, my 41-21-1 poster up there. But the Rangers war leader, let's see, I'm getting super aggressive. I'm going by baseball reference war, because I use baseball reference more than Fangraphs. It's usually less aggressive with its pop-ups, and that's the main reason for it. But yeah, I'm going with 8.5 WAR season from the great, not Mitch Garver, Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien has had 8 WAR seasons before. Actually, season, I should say. Where'd we go? I swear to God, I had this right here. Yeah, an 8.5 WAR season. It was his career high set in 2019 with the Oakland A's. He was playing shortstop back then. Last year, he had a 7.3 WAR when having basically the best season as a second baseman has ever had with 45 home runs. But I think his defensive WAR is going to go up. I think that's why. Because he won a Gold Glove. He was the best defensive second baseman. But this is only his first. That was only his first year defensively full-time at second base. I think he's only going to get better this year. I think offensively he's going to be, he might not hit 45 home runs, which I'm projecting that he does not, but I think he might provide more general offensive value. He's going to, I believe the hitting staff is going to help him quite a bit. The new coaching staff the Rangers have that they feel really, really dang good about in Donnie Ecker and Tim Hires. I think his on base is going to go up because they're probably going to put an emphasis on that because he's going to be doing hitting leadoff against right-handed hitters. Brad Miller, it looks like, is probably going to be the leadoff guy against Marcus Semien is going to be hitting leadoff against lefties, and it looks like Brad Miller is going to be hitting leadoff against righties because he is only going to be playing against righties because he sucks tremendously against lefties, but is very good against righties. So I think there's going to be some emphasis placed on that. And I think Seager ends up with a 6.9 WAR season, which is going to be really close. You know what? I take it back. Marcus Semien, 7.9. Seager, 6.9. So it's closer. And because he plays shortstop, the Rangers are going to give him the MVP. Whatever. I have Mitch Garver at a 5.1 WAR, which I believe would be right around his career record. He had, a 4.1 WAR season in 2019 with Minnesota when he only played in 93 games. I think he plays in more games. Let's see. I will put my slash lines and my homer numbers for these guys, my projections. With Corey Seager, I think he puts up a triple slash line of 312, 387, 540, and 927 OPS with 32 home runs in 145 games. Marcus Semien, I think he puts up a slash line of 279, 358. That's right, 358 on base. It's a pretty big jump from where he's been in his career. And slugs 543 with a 901 OPS, an OPS over 900 for the first time in his career is what that would be. And 41 home runs in 162 games. I think he continues his Iron Man streak. Mitch Garver, slash line of 273, 369. Dang she fine. Won't Mitch Garver get a walk one more time and, you know, not have a low OPS because he's going to slug 614, a 985 OPS with 42 home runs in 122 games, and 92 of those will come at catcher. That's right. I am going way full optimistic on Mitch Garver, but I think that guy is tremendous. And if the Rangers can keep him healthy, the rest of the world should look out because that man's going to hit some massive, massive tanks. My breakout hitter pick, which of those young guys I decided to make myself make a pick. I think it's going to be Willie Calhoun. I think he has an OPS of 850 or more and 28 home runs. I think this is the year that Willie thrives because I want it to happen because I think being around a fellow East San Francisco Bay guy and fellow good baseball player in Marcus Semien, I think that bond is going to be strong and he is going to hit bombs and people are not going to hit him with baseballs and break his bones. That's really all Willie needs to succeed. So pitchers, if you're listening to this, frickin' stop hitting Willie Calhoun and breaking his bones. For my breakout star pitcher, I think Spencer Howard comes on the scene. Looks like at least a number three this year by the end of the year. I don't know if it's going to happen by the start of the year because they're still going to be stretching him out. But I think he continues what he did in the spring and looks massively improved, just like a completely different pitcher than he did last year. And everyone's happy and celebrating. And, you know, the children are singing and rejoicing in the streets. Not the streaks. They're not rejoicing in the streaks. That sounds weird. But anyway, one of the last things that I'm predicting, actually the last thing that I'm predicting, is prospects that will make their major league debut this year. And I'm going to be 100% right, unless I'm not. So, who's going to make their major league debut with the Rangers this year? I think it's Colwyn. That's pretty slam dunk, pretty easy one. Josh H. Smith. The Viper, Chase Lee. Davis Wenzel, Blaine Crim, Cole Reagans, Josh Young, very end of the year. Don't worry, he's not out the entire year. He's just out for most of it. That doesn't mean all of it, and I think he can make his major league debut this year, depending on how quickly he comes back and how healthy he is when he does come back. And lastly, I guess I already made this in my bold predictions, but Jack Leiter. I think he makes exactly one start for the Rangers this year towards the end of the year. And not because the Rangers want to make him feel good, but because they will be pushing for a playoff spot and Jack Leiter will be already good enough to be helpful as a starting pitcher in a playoff chase. And he will also have stuff that hasn't been scouted at the major league level. So he will have that advantage as well that a lot of pitchers have when they make their major league debuts at the end of the season. So that's my season preview. We are, as I'm recording this, four and a half hours away. I don't know. I'm not good at math. I am good at watching baseball. But thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. On Monday, I will be recapping actual real baseball. Real baseball that counts with these new signings, these new trade acquisitions with John Gray starting opening day. It'll be a lot of fun. Now go make your second listen, Locked On MLB, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Y'all, thank you so much for listening, and until next time, don't forget to enjoy opening day baseball. Woo!